We're now ready to begin the ninth chapter. The only thing recorded in this ninth chapter is how David showed kindness to the seed of Jonathan. So beginning with verse 1 of chapter 9, "And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now here, this had been several years after David had become king. But we're going to find that this son of Jonathan was old enough to have a son himself, and he was only 5 years old when Jonathan was put to death. So David had probably been reigning now for 15 to 20 years at least. But we find that David had been very heavily occupied up until this time. For the first 7.5 years of his reign, he only had the tribe of Judah that he was king over. And he was continually with this conflict with Ishbosheth and Abner, the ones who were usurping the throne to rule the other 11 tribes. And then when he got that matter settled, of course, he had to move the capital to Jerusalem and capture that city. And then there was the matter of moving the Ark of the Covenant. There was matter of conquering these other nations round about. So we see that David has been very fully occupied. But now that he has the opportunity, now that he is secure enough, he can turn to this business of showing kindness to the house of Saul for the sake of Jonathan. In Acts 13:36, we have a description given of David in which it is stated that he served his own generation by the will of God. So that David did not neglect his generation. He did not neglect to do that which was right. And as we mentioned earlier, he probably just didn't have good opportunity to take care of this matter at this time. Now, Saul had a large family. In 1 Chronicles 8:33, we learn that he had 4 sons. And of course, these 4 sons could have had many offspring of their own. However, we learn in 2 Samuel 21:1 that Saul's house was a bloody house, and that God brought punishment not only upon Saul, but upon the nation because of this. And so, as a result of him having a bloody house, then his family seems to have been reduced to practically nothing. Because we're going to find that David can only find 1 survivor of the family of Saul, and that's going to be this 1 son of Jonathan. But we find that David had a solemn agreement with Jonathan. And this agreement was a two-way thing, that they would care for each other. Jonathan was very sure that David would be on the throne. He knew that David should be on the throne. And so he helps David in his time of need. He helps to save David's life. He goes between David and his father Saul whenever the going really gets rough. And as a result of his help given to David, then he extracted a promise from David, this agreement from David, that when David got to be king, that David wouldn't forget about him nor his seed. Of course, Jonathan was put to death before David became king, and he didn't know that was going to happen when they made this agreement. But nevertheless, let's take a look at that agreement between Jonathan and David in 1 Samuel 20, beginning with the 14th verse. "And thou shalt not only while yet I live show me kindness of the Lord that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth." So the covenant states that when David gets to the point that all the enemies that he has have been cut off, that he's in a very secure state, he is not to forget about the seed of Jonathan. And the next verse in that passage says, "So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, Let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul." So there was a very solemn agreement now. And so what David is doing here can very well be a result of this agreement that he has already made with Jonathan, that he's going to take care of his seed forever. He's not going to forget about his seed. But we find that this act of showing kindness to others is something that should be done regardless of whether or not there is this solemn agreement made like Jonathan and David had. It's a part of our nature as children of God to show kindness to others. And we feel like that this David would have done anyway had he not had this agreement, because one of the characteristics of the people of God is to show kindness to those round about them. Among the teaching given to Christians along this line, we find in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Peter says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. So we then as Christians, we as followers of God today, are to give to others, rather than evil for evil or railing for railing, but we're to give a blessing in the place of that. So if somebody uses abusive language against us, if somebody does us evil, then we'd rather give them a blessing in the place of it. And he says that we give the blessing knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. So we give the blessing because we already inherited a blessing. We give what is ours to give, and we then, being in a position to inherit a blessing, have the ability to give a blessing. And just as we know that God gives us the blessing, then we are to in turn give this to someone else. So in David's situation, he had a lot of reason to shy away from the family of Saul. Saul had been his sworn enemy. Saul tried on many occasions to put him to death. He made life very miserable for him. He even forced him to leave the country. But nevertheless, David didn't return that type of behavior back to the offspring of Saul. David could have said, is there anybody that's a survivor of Saul? Let me get rid of him so he doesn't cause me any more trouble, so he doesn't try to usurp the throne. We've had trouble enough out of this family of Saul. Saul himself tried to kill me. Then his son Ishbosheth usurped the throne for 7.5 years. And I've had enough of that family, and we'll just wipe them out. No, that's not what David said. He wanted to seek out any of the remainder of the seed of Saul, that he might do them a good, that he might give them a blessing for the sake of Jonathan. So, beginning in verse 2, and there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. So here is one servant that's known, that's remained of the house of Saul, an old man who's a retainer of this family of Saul, and he then would know what survivors there were and where they were, and so he would be the one to go to for help. And when they had called him to David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him? So the question was, is there any left of the house of Saul? And the reason he was asking the question was, that I may show the kindness of God unto him. I would like to note that in that promise that David made to Jonathan, in that covenant between David and Jonathan in 1 Samuel 20 verse 14, that it was stated, and thou shalt not only, while yet I live, show me the kindness of God, that I die not, but also thy soul shall not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. So it was stated, to show me the kindness of the Lord. Show me the kindness of the Lord. So that's what David is saying here. He says, is there yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? Now the kindness of God may imply a very specific kind of kindness. You know, God is kind in ways that man is not able to be kind. So he's going to show a kindness that man ordinarily would not show. Also, the kindness of God means that we're going to return to others the kind of kindness that God has given to us. And as we read over there in 1 Peter 3, we have a blessing given to us, so we're able to give a blessing to others. So saved people can show kindness in ways that unsaved people may not be able to, because we have a possession that they do not have. So he wants to show the kindness of God unto him. And that's the question given to this person named Ziba. Is there any left of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. Now, this son of Jonathan was lame, and we've learned the reason for his lameness, which is found in 2 Samuel 4, verse 4. At the time that Saul and Jonathan were put to death during the battle with the Philistines at Jezreel, when the news came to the nurse who was taking care of this son of Jonathan, she thought they were going to be in great danger, that the Philistines maybe were coming after the rest of the family, so she hastily picked up this son to flee with him. And when she did, she fell, and it caused him to be lame in his feet. Some kind of injury was done. He was 5 years old at the time, and so we see that he's been lame ever since. So that's what Ziba says here, that he's lame in his feet. Verse 4, And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodebar. So David is now asking Ziba, Where is this son of Jonathan? Where is Mephibosheth? And he's given the answer that he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodebar. Now this place, known as Lodebar, is either in Manasseh or Gilead. It's east of the Jordan River. Some seem to think it is in Gilead, but we don't have any way to know that for sure. And this person called Machir must have had some great interest in the family of Saul, or particularly the family of Jonathan, because he now is taking care of this son of Jonathan. He's letting him stay in his house, and it must have been for a number of years, because as we mentioned earlier, this is probably 15 to 20 years after David has actually become king. And this son of Jonathan, Mephibosheth, is old enough to have a son of his own, so we know that he's a man at least in his 20s or late teens. And since Machir has shown the kindness and the love to take care of the son of Jonathan, it may very well be that David rewarded him for his trouble. And we're going to find that at a later time, when David is in need of some assistance, that this same man is evidently the one who assists David. So we never know when we help someone, or even when we have a dealings with someone, when there may come a time in which we're going to be in a state of need, and that person will be the very one who's going to be in a position to assist us. In 2 Samuel 17, verse 27, we read of David being in a distress whenever he's having the conflict with Absalom. And this Machir is one of the ones who comes to his assistance and gives him and his men the provisions that they have need of. And no doubt, Machir at that time had a very fond remembrance of the things David did regarding Mephibosheth and the assistance that he gave him. We're going to close at that point. Until next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, Goodbye, friends.